Welcome back to Our Common Thread. I'm Bailey Watts. I'm the Deputy Communications Director for the department. Today, we're actually going to talk about a topic. I know our first three episodes have really just been introducing leadership here at the department. And so today, we're really excited to get to talk about something that is up and coming at the department. It's been an initiative that's been worked on for the past year. So we're going to start talking about maternal and infant health. First, I want to go around the table, though, and allow my guests to introduce themselves. So, Don, if you would introduce yourself and then maybe just give us a little bit of an insight of what you do for the department.
Sure. My name is Don Votra, and I'm the Assistant Deputy Director for Family Support Division. So my team leads the policy for SNAP, TANF, Medicaid, EBT. And we're the ones responsible for making sure that the policy gets put out there and you have the information you need to do your jobs.
Yeah, that's great. Misty.
Yes, Misty Allen. I am with Children's Division. I'm a program development specialist. I am involved in several areas with critical events, but one of my focuses also is newborn crisis assessments. So I help write policy and procedure regarding those.
Awesome. And then last but not least, Kirk.
Yes, thanks, Bailey. I'm Kirk Matthews. I lead the transformation office at MoHealthNet. It's a relatively young office. It's been in existence for a few years now. Director Richardson, when he became director, became convinced that real and lasting and meaningful change to the program would be best served with an internal change agent. And so he asked me to come and serve in that role. I have a small team. We have 4.5 FTEs, and we focus on how to improve the program for our participants' experience, for our providers, for the financial sustainability.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
And I'll kind of turn it over to you to give us a little bit of info on what is maternal and infant health, and what are some of the trends that we're seeing that makes it so important and such a big part of our job.
Sure. When we think about maternal and infant health at Missouri Medicaid, we think about outcomes. Things like how many of our Medicaid babies are born prematurely at low birth weights or very low birth weights, requiring expensive and lengthy NICU stays. How many of our moms have comorbid conditions or pass away within a year of their giving birth. If you follow the Department of Health and Senior Services publishes something called the PAMR report, which is the pregnancy associated related morbidity. And it highlights some statistics that have not been flattering for our state. When you look at some of these outcomes, it reveals that that Missouri has not done well compared to the rest of the nation in some of these outcome statistics that I just mentioned. And even when you look deeper, you see disparities between different populations, our minority populations and our rural populations. You know, it's sad to say, but according to the most recent PAMR report, a mom on Medicaid has a 10 times greater chance of dying within a year of delivering than a commercially insured mom in our state. Our minority moms, our black mothers, have a 6 times more likelihood of passing away within a year of them giving birth. And these are just not acceptable, especially when you think of the fact that of all the babies born in our state, but every year in and year out, between 40 and 45% of them are Medicaid babies, which was kind of an astounding number when I first came across it. So What we're doing at MoHealthNet, a little over a year ago, actually, Director Richardson, upon reviewing some of these numbers, launched an initiative that we are really focusing on changing those bottom line outcomes. On a week-to-week basis for the last year, we've had upwards of 50 to 60 of our staff meeting on different lines of effort to improve these outcomes in at the end of the day. And it's resulted in a lot of changes that we have already enacted. A lot more are on the drawing board or in process. So there's an enormous effort going on at MoHealthNet to improve these outcomes.
Yeah. I mean, that's always great to hear, I think, from a not only a DSS team member perspective, but a public perspective, you know, to know that we are trying to change those outcomes. So how has this played into the creation of Healthy Moms, Healthy Babies?
Well, Healthy Moms, Healthy Babies is the direct result of this overall effort at MoHealthNet. It's resulted in a website dedicated to this effort that can inform not only our participants and our moms and families out there that need connecting to services, but also can help educate our providers. The overall effort is multifaceted, and it includes a heavy effort in educating our providers, educating our participants about some of the benefits and services that are available to them currently through our managed care partners. We have our managed care partners with all kinds of benefits that our moms can take advantage of with very little uptake of those benefits. And so we're trying to find ways to enhance the awareness of what benefits are available to them. And then on the more kind of direct practical side, we have several efforts underway. One of them, we had a chance to celebrate in St. Louis recently when we launched an enhanced reimbursement program for providers that participated in group prenatal care, which was something that I had to learn about. But group prenatal care is when an OBGYN provider, instead of having an individual prenatal visit with a mom that might last 15 minutes or something, takes an hour and a half or more with 8 to 12 moms at the same time. And the national data shows that this approach to prenatal care allows those moms to sort of form a support group where they can help each other with things like smoking cessation or making sure they get to their prenatal visits, etc. And the national data shows that, especially in our minority populations, it improves those bottom line outcomes. It improves fewer NICU stays and low birth weight babies. And so we're really pretty excited about that. Medicaid doesn't have a lot of levers that we can pull, but one of them is how we pay our providers. And if we incentivize our providers with this enhanced reimbursement, we believe we'll see a big take up in this practice of group prenatal care. So we're excited about that. Other things that we're doing include we are pursuing getting doulas as enrolled providers. Right now, our managed care plans offer doula services in a way that's not as comprehensive as we would like. It's called in lieu of services, but we're working toward making doulas enrolled providers and other sort of non-traditional providers like community health workers, community paramedics. These are also provider groups that we think can engage around the maternal infant health effort. So yeah. We've got a lot going on.
For sure. And I think just building off of that, you know, I have some notes here about some different initiatives going on. You touched on the group prenatal care, which is, that's awesome. I've never heard of that. And so that's pretty cool.
Well, Kirk's numbers have really gotten my mind going because the infants and the fatalities in infants, I understand that. And I know what a lot of those causes are. The mothers is very intriguing to me that there's so many before within the year of having a child. What are the causes? Is it not getting the health care? Is it depression? Is it, I mean, what is
No, that's a great question. On a year in, year out basis, approximately 70 moms pass away in our state from within a year of giving childbirth. 84% of those deaths have been determined to be preventable, and the vast majority of them fall into the space of mental health issues and substance abuse, depression. One of the big things that the state has done recently with the support of the legislature is pass coverage for our moms to postpartum coverage to extend to a full 12 months where it was 60 days. And so we think that could take a big chunk out of this, particularly in the when our moms suffer from postpartum depression, other mental health concerns, and even the substance abuse issue.
No, that just was very intriguing to me. I did not realize that those aren't numbers that I've seen or heard, so I'm going to look more into that.
They were shocking to us as well when you and when you compare us to other states in some of these metrics, you'll typically find us ranking number 42 or 48 or 39. And under Director Richardson's leadership, really want to be aspirational on this. We really want to move the needle. And we know that just one of these initiatives by itself is not necessarily going to bridge that gap. But we think that there's a total of 25 or 30 different initiatives in this work group that I mentioned that's going on. And we think that the collective effort will have a compounding effect and really move the numbers on these metrics.
Well, and I think that will also help with the infant deaths. If we have parents that are more alert and more aware and getting mental health treatment or whatever it may be to help with that as well.
Taking a quick break from our conversation around maternal and infant health to give you some quick updates happening in the department. The DSS Swag Shop closes this Friday, March 15th. Be sure to get your orders in so you don't miss out. To find the store link, visit the DSS intranet and click on the Swag Shop slider. The DSS Wellness Committee is hosting this year's bowling tournament on Saturday, April 13th in Jefferson City. We invite everyone to get their teams together and join us for some fun competition. To learn more about the tournament and how to register, take a look at the most recent Director's Office update that went out on Friday, March 8th. You can also find it on the DSS communications page on the intranet. Congratulations to Amy Dunn for being selected as the winner of February's Character Trait of the Month, Resourceful. Amy is a Children's Division Supervisor in Cole County. She is said to be knowledgeable of what is available in the community, along with who to contact for support when it's needed. Thank you, Amy, for being a great resource for your team members and those we serve every day. Stay in the know of all things DSS with our new DSS Communications page. This page will house all important DSS news in one place, including Director's Office memos, Snapshot, our common thread, and HRC memos. You can find the page by visiting the DSS intranet, hovering over Director's Office in the navigation menu, and selecting DSS Communications.
There is discussion around, and I'm not sure how far these conversations have gone yet, but conversations around health producing a similar report for infant mortality. The PAMA report focuses on the moms. They're talking about a FEMR report that will focus on infant mortality.
Yeah, so I think hearing that, I think we have a lot of opportunity to collaborate across our divisions. And so I think for me, I want to know, like, how is CD working to help these moms and to get them resources that they may be needing? And then, of course, on that side of it, how do you work with FSD, per se, to do that?
So most of the time, Children's Division does not get involved unless there is a report made, because we don't become aware of any concerns until that's happened or until the child's born.
Right.
So once we are involved, we will help try and get those families, mom and dad, set up with any type of services that's going to help them try to be a successful parent. But those resources aren't always there. So knowing that there are other agencies that we can reach out to, that we can reach out to MoHealth and say, hey, what do you have in this area that we may not be aware of? I think that's going to be very beneficial for us.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know, you know, we're looking to, on the communication side of it, you know, we want every chance we can get to kind of expand the knowledge of those resources also. So we're also looking to collaborate. And then Dawn, obviously FSC plays a huge hand, whether it be, you know, applying for benefits or administering those. My question is, you know, how do you all help? I know you all are busy people and there's always something going on at FSC. And so I think, what do you all do to really collaborate with MHD and then maybe even CD?
So as Kirk said, last summer they enacted legislation to extend that postpartum care from 60 days to 12 months. And that is going to be keeping them at the same level of coverage that they had for a full 12 months. And the only reasons that they would close are things like moved out of state or a voluntary closing or things like that, so that they can rest assured that they know that they're going to have that same support, those same services for up to the 12 months. Also educating, not just at the time of application, but educating our participants when we're on the phone with them, when we're in the resource centers. I believe that there are some flyers that are either out there or coming to those local offices so that there's more resources that they can pass out to someone that is pregnant or looking to even become pregnant and having those discussions. And then once that 12 months is done, we will do an ex parte review if we are able to continue the coverage as long as we can. They wouldn't necessarily stay at that same level, but there are other, especially with expansion, there are a lot more options for them to continue coverage. And if they're looking at a disability base, we can follow those application rules to see about any types of support that we can provide at that point. We work very closely with MHD gather that information to make sure that we're keeping those people covered. And if we're running into issues, we have a lot of avenues within our teams that we are getting people back onto coverage, or because it's really important that they notify us that they're pregnant. If they're on MoHealthNet for pregnant women or the Show Me Healthy Babies, we know that they're pregnant, but we don't always know if they're on these others. So them telling us is extremely important so that we can ensure that coverage continues.
And that's another thing that we're working on at MoHealthNet is trying to streamline that notification of pregnancy process. When all of our managed care partners had different forms and our providers had different forms, and the earlier we can make sure that we know they're pregnant, as FSD is a great partner in this, the better our chances of getting them connected with appropriate prenatal care. You know, sadly, there are still instances when a mom would show up in an emergency room on the verge of delivery and having no previous contact with MoHealthNet. So we're really working at streamlining that effort, that notification of pregnancy. So it's the same form. It's easy. The managed care plans can then put their case management people in place as fast as possible.
So when they do show up in those emergency rooms and they are ready to deliver, or they have delivered and they don't even know about the Medicaid, they can apply. And if we can get them coverage even with up to 3 months prior in that prior quarter, they will still qualify for that continued coverage for the 12 months, even if they weren't eligible at the time because maybe they didn't know about it. So that's really important as well.
Yeah. And so I know a lot of resource centers also house children's division. And so, you know, maybe a children's division worker has a question and, you know, they're wanting to know, how can I help this postpartum mother a little bit more? And maybe they already know about, you know, the do you call it expansion of Medicaid?
Yeah.
For the pregnancy?
Of that, the extension of the postpartum care?
Yeah. Okay. So maybe they know about the extension of the postpartum care, but they're really wanting to know, like, how can I help? Is there a specific group that they can come talk to within their colleagues of FSD? Like, who would you recommend they reach out to with if they want to know more about what they can do?
Yeah, if they're co-located with any other processing center or resource center, anybody that has family support, absolutely reach out to them. If not, we do have, I guess me. You can ask me. But, anytime. Usually, they can, and if they don't have a local contact, they can reach out to their supervisors. And usually, we can all connect somehow. A lot of that stuff ends up either with me or with our Medicaid policy manager, Rachel Robinette, Mallory Arnold. They do a lot of the emergency cases and those types of things. So I think about any of us could answer those questions. And I believe everyone would be, I can't answer that, but let me get you to somebody.
Right. So. And expanding on those resources, I know we focused a lot on the expansion of that postpartum coverage, but what are some other resources that, you know, CD workers can take into the field with them, or even FSD workers, if, you know, they're on a call with a postpartum mother and they can just be like, hey, here's also this resource. And so I guess maybe Kirk, this might be a good question for you. What are some outside resources, maybe like, I'm thinking specifically the crib program, the free crib program, maybe a safe place for babies. So the safe haven boxes, things like that.
That's a question I'm not the expert on, but I would say the new website that we've created at MoHealthNet, and I think it's healthymomsbabies.mo.gov, healthymomsbabies.mo.gov, really does a great job of pointing people towards these resources. And I was really kind of astounded at how long that list is. Whether it's the crib program, there's diaper programs, there's nutrition programs. I mean, it's a long list. I would be remiss. I would not do a good job of citing that entire list.
Right.
But I would point people to that website.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, those were only like two that I was thinking of, but I know that the list is very long, and I personally would love to see our workers be able to, you know, just be like, you know what, let me go visit this website and let's get them some information.
I know one resource that Children's Division does have that we have contracted with DESE is Home Visiting Services. We do utilize that. It is a voluntary program for them to join, but they can stay involved with the family until the age of three, until the child's the age of three. But they can also become involved with mom when she's pregnant. So trying to figure out ways to get that started before we have to be involved are some things that we've been talking about, because sometimes if we can get in there and start helping before the baby's even here, that's a big benefit to the whole family. So that's something that we do. And I also participate in a Mother Infants NAS group. It's an ECHOS through MU Extension. Mm-hmm. And I deal with, there's a lot of physicians on there, baby doctors, NICU nurses, and we discuss a lot of things. They bring cases to the table of things that they've experienced and how could we have done this better? What other services could we have provided? So it's a great group, and I'm really thinking that I need to invite somebody from MoHealthNet to be a part of that if they know more than I'm able to speak to. So just keep that in mind.
I'll do that.
You'll get a meeting invite.
I'm glad you raised the home visiting, because that's another area that we are looking to make a covered Medicaid service. It's on that list of what I call non-traditional providers, but we see the value.
And 988 is a resource for all of our postpartum parents as well. If they're talking to anybody, that's also a resource.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we're talking about nutrition programs as well, we also have SNAP. that is available. And in addition to our SNAP program, we also have outreach providers that we partner with the food banks and other groups that actually will take applications for us. So if someone isn't able to get to an office, they're not very tech savvy to do an online application, they can go to a lot of the food banks in the state and they will help them actually complete that application or provide the materials for them to start that application process. And so the nutrition is also a very big piece of that.
Absolutely. I mean, I know personally when I'm not getting good nutrition in my body, I'm not feeling my best and I'm not doing my best. So I think just to add on to that, where does WIC come in?
That's actually with Health and Senior Services.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
And we have another one of our initiatives is to make sure that our Medicaid moms that are eligible for WIC to get connected to it, because there's a fairly large disconnect. We find that a lot of our Medicaid eligible moms are not enrolled in the WIC program. And so there's another one of those lines of efforts that I mentioned to enhance that take up on WIC too.
When you were talking about at the food pantries, they'll help them fill out the applications and things. Mm-hmm. Is that an option for our pregnant moms that go to the doctor that don't already have that resource? Is there someone, can they do that there? Is there someone that can help them fill those things out while they're there?
The doctor's office? Mm-hmm. Anybody can probably help somebody fill out an application. This is an actual formal contract that we have with those particular groups that receive funding for doing that kind of work. But I mean, if anybody is willing to help somebody complete the application, then we're definitely open to that. And getting that information out to providers might not be a bad idea to let them know that there are places that they can go to apply.
Kirk, I'm going to loop back around to when we were talking about group prenatal care. Is there a way that a mother can get connected to that?
Yes. So group prenatal care in our state has until now been funded through sort of a patchwork of grants. One of the first places that offered group prenatal care was at Washington University in St. Louis. A doctor named Dr. Ebony Carter, an OBGYN who is actually chairman of the department at WashU, launched group prenatal care in a pilot program that she called Elevate. And Elevate has, until now, has only been funded by grants. And it was only in St. Louis, although they did, just about the time we added this enhanced reimbursement, they opened up, they launched a program in Kansas City. So if you're in the St. Louis metro area or the Kansas City metro area, you can definitely get connected by contacting in St. Louis, Washington University, and in Kansas City, University Health, Truman Hospital. Now, other parts of the state, we're going to have to wait and see how many providers take up the practice now based on our enhanced reimbursement. So it's a relatively new thing in Missouri. I think at this point I could safely say somewhat limited access, but we believe it's going to expand rapidly.
Yeah, that's good to know. That's exciting. Well, I think I would just like to take a chance to let you all go around and give your parting thoughts. Any advice you might have for your workers in the field, or just anything that you want to leave it off with?
I think I'll circle back to something I mentioned about that group prenatal care as well.
Yeah.
I mentioned that we had the opportunity to celebrate the kickoff of this enhanced reimbursement. And this was really a cool thing. I was blessed to be able to participate in it. It was at an FQHC in North St. Louis. And they had a lot of providers there. But the coolest thing was, they had three young women who were all Medicaid moms who had participated in this Elevate program that I mentioned to you, this group prenatal care. And they shared their experiences of their entire pregnancy and delivery and postpartum having been through this group prenatal care. And it was really impactful. I mean, they really believe that their lives were changed and their child's lives were changed having this support group of these group of women that went through the process together. Fortunately, they videoed this event And so I brought the video back to our large work group at Mo HealthNet. And it was an opportunity that many people, I think, at Mo HealthNet for sure, and I'm CD and FSD maybe not so much, but we can easily be disconnected from the downstream impact of our work. And I think that this opportunity, at least at Mo HealthNet, to share this video and see these women kind of give their testimony of how what we're doing is going to impact more lives like theirs, keeping our people connected to the downstream efforts of their work, I think is really valuable. And I think maybe in FSD and CD, maybe you have a little more opportunity to do that because you're interacting more directly with participants. But I applaud you for that, because that connection keeps people motivated. So
I love to hear stories like that. Anytime that we can, you know, hear from somebody who's really been impacted in a positive way by our work, I think that's invaluable. So thank you for sharing that.
And I think even as frontline workers, you can feel disconnected because you're maybe not seeing the downstream impacts of that. So maybe that's something that at some point we could put up that other people could watch. I think it might make an impact for them as well. We've been doing this for a few months now, and we're still trying to get our systems in line and get everything to this being a smoother process for all of our workers that are doing the work. But I feel like we're going to really see some great outcomes from everything that expansion of the coverage, just knowing that they don't have to worry about coverage. That's one less thing, because they've got a lot on their plates. I mean, any new mom, any new parent has enough without having to worry about their coverage ending.
For sure. Yeah. Misty? Yeah.
Yes. I'm excited, one, to see how the group prenatal stuff helps benefit our moms by starting off with a support system already when a lot of them don't already have a good support system. So I'm really excited to kind of see how that progresses. So I want to keep up with that and see how, if it extends us to the rural areas, because I think those are the areas that we have less services in and not as many supports. And so I think that would be really great if that could come that way, and I don't think there's any better advocates for it than the people that have experienced it. So I think that would be great to do that. So I'm very excited for that. And then I will say, I did not know that it was extended for another year. So I think that's going to be great for our moms and us knowing as Children's Division, okay, this isn't going to be a burden on mom if we want to get her into counseling or we want to help her get these things, because she has that benefit. So I think that's great too.
Yeah.
I really do think that we are at a time within our department where there is more cross-divisional cooperation, collaboration, and communication than ever before, at least in my history in state government. And I have the opportunity, I meet with Director Missy and Director Evans on a fairly regular basis. And I think we're going to see the benefit of that. I really do. And the work that you guys are doing in communications, like these podcasts to help enhance that. We've been siloed way too long. And I think this is really taking big steps in the right direction.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think I can speak for all of us when I say that we've all learned something today. And I know that's the goal of this podcast, is to get it out there and to make sure that our team members are learning what we're learning, you know, and to kind of, again, eliminate that siloed effect that we've known for so long. So I thank each of you all for joining me today. It was a really great conversation, and excited to see where, you know, it goes from here. Good things going on at the department.
Thanks for having us, Bailey.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Our Common Thread. To learn more about maternal and infant health, visit healthymomsbabies.mo.gov. Join us next time as we continue to discuss the thread that ties us all together here at the Missouri Department of Social Services.